What do you get when three comic and entertainment enthusiasts join together to discuss the topics that interest us all? Something that is truly larger than life. What's on the page?
On the screen.
And on our minds. Is front and center here on Larger Than Life with Dan Totora and co-hosts TJ Yeldon and Brian Yeldon.
Back here, Larger Than Life with Dan Totora inside of New York Comic Con with Nicholas Cicerel figuring out his microphone right now. Oh, Doug, are you comfortable? You good?
Yeah, right? With my mouth full, too.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Sorry.
I want to be that waiter that comes by you and asks you how the food is when you have a full mouth. You know they do that so you can't say it's terrible, because you spit out all your food when that happens.
Probably true.
They always wait till you take a big bite and they say, how are you? And then you can't, But we got a lot going on here today. We have the t-shirts here for Larger Than Life at Dan Totora, $5. And all you have to do is like the page. You get to spin the wheel. Nick, people are eating me out of house and home right now. It's crazy.
Everybody's getting special?
Everybody's getting special. They're spinning the wheel, the Carvel Fresh Wheel of Giveaways, and they're getting the special. So we have given away graphic novels. What else have we given away? We've given away the
Funko Pop.
Yes, we gave away the Funko Scarlet Witch. We gave away the 3D bus of the Justice League.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, a lot has gone. A lot has gone today. So, prizes have been very good. T-shirts have been awesome. Gave away some T-shirts today as well in the prize wheel. So, we just got back from the Doctor Who panel, as was put up here. We got a little sign here that lets you know we're out at a panel that we're discussing. So, you know, it's great. You know, I love being at the booth, and then we got to go out and do the panels, come back, talk about them. So, Doctor Who, Nick is a massive fan of Doctor Who.
And you know nothing about
and
it.
And Dan is a introductory, basic, I went to the panel to learn some things. Now, so go with me. How long have you been watching the show, Nick?
Well, I started with the reintroduction of Doctor Who, the kind of second generation here that started, oh gosh, I don't know, what was that, like 8 years ago now?
So how many doctors have you been through?
One, two, well, technically, I guess one, two, three, four, five.
Five doctors.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite doctor?
Oh, yes. The one we saw today. The 11th.
That's your favorite?
Matt Smith, yeah.
Yeah, Matt is your favorite.
Well, I do like David Tennant the best, and I get that. He was Matt's predecessor.
Yeah.
And I like him a lot. I mean, I like the way he portrayed the doctor, but I like Matt's episodes and story arcs a lot better. So they were talking about Stephen Moffat a lot and praising him, and he's the guy who, you know, kind of came along at that point and started writing the episodes at that time. So
yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that in England, you know, with the BBC and whatnot, I mean, this took off a long time ago, and obviously a lot of people knew about it overseas. And it found its way into America.
Right. Well, I mean, not even just that. I mean, in the BBC in England, Doctor Who was a tradition. That's what it was. You know, you grew up with Doctor Who. You knew Doctor Who. And then they were able to kind of import it over here. As you said, I think it was like reruns. The old reruns were on like PBS and stuff. And now we get them pretty much as soon as they are over there on our BBC America. So.
Yeah, you know, it's...
It became a phenomenon.
Very interesting concept.
It is.
Because it's the same spirit of the doctor.
Right. It's the same doctor. He just kind of jumps from body to body when that one goes away.
Has the doctor ever been a woman? No. I don't think so, right? Maybe. No.
That's a good question. I can't say never. There's a lot of intricacies to that.
Okay, so yes for a second.
You know, it was really
always
funny.
A bridesmaid,
so,
never a bride.
So a couple of the funny things from that panel.
Yeah.
Number one, the little kid asking where Canine went. The dog.
I can only imagine that there was a parent behind that child asking that question.
That was really sad because K-9 blew up. He gave himself up in one of the episodes to save everybody. So the parent forcing the kid to ask that question was very, like, it's almost child abuse.
Yeah, it was kind of terrifying. It's like, honey, why don't you ask where K-9 is, even though I know that K-9 is very dead.
So they came up with a good answer on the happy dog planet.
Well, yeah, once somebody says the happy dog planet where all dogs are happy and frolicking, it's heaven. Let's just call it heaven. But it's, it was interesting. It's always interesting with the questions because I will shout out the people in this panel, in the crowd. They ask questions.
They did. They asked good ones.
So some people come out and they say, hi, I love you.
No, we'll be here.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Or they ask,
have a good day.
You know, I like, this is such a stereotype, but I've seen this before. I think it was in the Serenity panel last year, the Firefly panel last year.
Okay.
With Nathan Fillion and crew. And somebody asked, like, see, you know, in episode 6, when you were on the thing and you grabbed something with your right hand and all of a sudden you were holding it in your left hand, why? You know, I was like, shut up.
Yeah, there's obviously going to be mistakes in shows.
But
the first
that.
X-Men movie, or the X2,
yeah,
featured, I think they said 100 and some odd mistakes. Titanic had a bunch of mistakes. But it's like, if you're watching something that closely, you're just probably a dick.
It was like in the...
probably not nice.
In the Hasbro panel that I went to earlier, the Hasbro Star Wars panel, which was great, you know, showed off a lot of the Rogue One figures that are coming out. There was a Q&A session to that.
Yeah.
Some guy got up there, and he would not relinquish the mic. He kept asking almost the same thing over and over, and they were giving him an answer.
Yeah.
He just didn't like their answer, and he kept going. And so he was going on and on about, why are there only 5 parts of articulation in a 3¾ size action figure? And
See my face?
Yeah, you know.
My who care?
No,
like, why are you complaining
and
about that?
So they make the 6, I was kind of explaining to you earlier, they make the 6 inches ones that are highly detailed, have lots of articulation, but he didn't like that as an answer. He's like, well, I only like the 3-inch ones.
Well, okay.
And, you know, they explained it very well.
Some people like 3 inches as opposed to 6.
If we were to put knee joints on there and other joints of articulation, we'd have to charge more. But we could keep the price point at $7.99. And remember, now we are collectors, and that's why they made the 6 inches, and that's why they make some of these more highly detailed things. But remember, in the end, the 3¾ action figures are for kids to play with.
What's you know what I love? I would love for the collector from Guardians of the Galaxy to not collect anything that's 3 inches because it only has 5 points of articulation.
Yeah, that's a
That'd be
point.
Great.
So
Benicio Del Toro was like, no, I don't want it.
No.
It's not the 6-inch figure. It's not highly defined. It doesn't move more than 5 points of articulation.
I don't know.
So did they eventually pull the mic out of his hand?
No, but they were very nice. Like, the panelists were way too nice to him. And
how many times did he ask?
About 4 or 5.
That's inappropriate.
But he kept going on because he had all these gripes about price points and all this stuff. And they're like, look, you know, we make different products for different people. You could choose what you want to collect. And you choose, like, the 3 inches, and this is what the 3 inches are. We're not going to make them more expensive and more articulation.
When we were kids, we were just happy if their arms moved, like, to the side,
right?
And not just up and down.
Yeah.
It didn't do, like, the Hitler thing. It just went all over the place, so. But
now they have the mouse moving on the 3 inches. It's great.
They do?
On some of them. On the aliens. So, like, the Akbar.
The aliens. Okay.
But back to Doctor Who, I think another very, very interesting question. I don't know if he's ever admitted this before, but Matt Smith said that he much preferred his original TARDIS to the updated version that they kind of changed them to later on in the series.
Yeah.
And you were kind of asking, you were like wondering, so you have the TARDIS, and then you go inside, and there's lots of stuff.
So why don't they just call it phone booth?
That's stupid. By the
blue phone booth.
It's actually a police box, by the way.
Blue police phone box booth.
And
what does TARDIS stand for? Is it an acronym? Telephone.
Oh, I don't know. It might be.
Telephone anywhere relatively defined inside special.
No.
It's true because the inside is special. I want to know what TARDIS means. Nick is doing homework right now. I want to know.
I really don't.
I'm going to ask you what Jarvis means, too. But
I
so
it actually does.
It's got to be an acronym.
I know it is. Time and relative dimension in space.
Time and relative dimension in space.
Yes.
So if I find a TARDIS, does it choose me, or do I just get to find it and walk in? I'm asking good questions because Nick has no answer.
You probably can't fly it. Even if you did find it.
I'm going to fly a phone booth.
You might not even be able to get into it.
So if I just walked upon a TARDIS right now, and I was like, oh, wow, there's a blue phone booth. It's not a red one because that's Superman. So I walk upon it. I open the door. It lets me in. Tell me what happens. Can I just shut the door?
Well, if you're a Time Lord, you could fly it.
I have to be a Time Lord.
Yes.
How do I become a Time Lord?
You probably got to be born a Time Lord.
Do I have
Lord.
To catch enough Pokemon? How does it happen?
No, I don't think Pokemon has anything to do with it.
So, I'm speaking on the side of people who have not watched Doctor who are learning, the learned people. So, I'm gonna step by step. We're gonna Tarzan this.
I don't think we need to.
I'm gonna walk in. I'm gonna shut the door to my TARDIS.
And then you flip the key.
I flip the key.
Remember to spin the thing over here and push this button and flip that lever. All of them are different.
And then I fly a phone booth.
And that's why he was talking. That was very interesting because he liked the space and where everything was on the original one, where he could run in there and flip some stuff and do some stuff and push buttons.
Was it a big phone booth?
It was. They're always bigger on the inside.
I'm not going there, Nick. Not doing it. Inappropriate. So bring me through this, okay? It's a family show, Nicholas. Bring me through this. So it's always bigger on the inside. So what does it look like on the inside?
It could look like anything.
What would mine look like? You know my personality. You've known me for almost a decade. If I walked into a TARDIS and I shut the door and turned the key and spun the doohickey, what would mine look like?
What would yours look like?
What would be my TARDIS? Let's go.
You'd probably have, it'd probably look like a basketball court, maybe.
Okay.
You know? And then a little control panel over here where you can push buttons that looks like a mixer board.
So, like, I'm...
Yeah.
Like, I'm in the studio, maybe. But I'm flying things?
Yeah, I think so.
In a basketball court.
Yeah.
Okay. So then what happens? When I take off, do you see it through the eyes of me, what I'm flying, or do you see a phone booth flying in the air?
You don't really see anything. The TARDIS just flies and then brings you to your destination. You jump out, and then you see where you are.
But we're going back in time into parallel universes. Are we going all over the place?
Not parallel universes. One universe, just different times.
So I could get in my TARDIS and go back to the 1940s. Now, does the TARDIS decide where I'm meant to go?
You can go forward or backwards or anything. Sometimes it does, yes. That's a good point. Sometimes it's just a feeling.
So sometimes it knows me better than I know myself.
Yeah.
If you could go back to any time in your lifetime or in the world, where would your TARDIS take you?
Wow.
He's not out.
That's a good question.
It's a Doctor Who panel. I'm trying to... He kills people with... Or not kills. Pardon. He fights people with his mind.
He does. 1813.
You go to 1813?
No.
Why?
I don't know. It seems cool.
Okay, so like now a real answer. Where would you go?
I don't know. I think we live in probably the best time. We got so much cool stuff.
We live in the best time for materialistic things and technology.
No.
Not in the best time for the state of things and safety.
I don't think it's ever been worse or better.
Safety's always been a thing. It's always been an issue. Where would I go since Nick asked me the question back
Maybe
so ever nicely?
Ancient Rome.
In ancient Rome?
Yeah.
Would you kill Caesar?
No.
You would give to Caesar what is Caesar's?
Yes.
Give to God what is God's?
Nope.
Okay. So then Nick said to Dan, where would you go? And then I
said... Hey, Dan.
What?
You can get in a TARDIS to go anywhere you want, to whatever time you want. Where would it be?
I would go to... Well, I'm going to have a really emotional answer that will probably make people cry. I would go back to when I was very, very young.
You ruin everything.
No, I don't ruin everything. You said 1813 and it meant nothing.
My dog and my grandma.
You would want to go back and shake Walt Disney's hand. I would go back to the time when my grandfathers were alive, and I'd spend more time with them. Not that I didn't. I saw them like every day or every other day. But I would go back and I would probably not sleep for the first 6 years of my life and just hang out with my grandfathers.
All right.
Where else would I go? That's an interesting question. I would...
You don't get a second choice. That's what you chose.
I would go back to the first creation of Darkwing Duck and I'd get myself on that staff. And I would make it. So then I could be the person that drew the character myself so that I could take it home. Anytime
sure.
I want. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I would do that. I would make myself the first Spider-Man so they never had to remake it again because I would have done it right the first time. Thank you. Not that I didn't like Tobey Maguire or Andrew Garfield, but I think my favorite is Tom Holland.
Why didn't you say that already?
I just think that he's my favorite now. Because it's the first time we're actually seeing the realistic version of Spider-Man, which is the teenager that looks like a teenager that's in high school.
Right.
Not the teenager that's Tobey Maguire, where you're like, how many years did you flunk?
Tom Holland is like 38.
No, he's not. Go ahead, look up Tom Holland. If he's under 19 years old, you're buying me dinner. Thank you.
Definitely not under 19.
If he's under 19, you buy dinner. That's how it works. Let me tell you. I don't look it up right now because I don't believe you. Let's see. No, I trust Nick. I trust you. Did you find it? How old is he? Yep. How old is he?
Born June 1st, 1996. He's 20.
What did I say?
Under 19.
When's his birthday?
June 1st.
So he just turned 20. You know what? By the hair of your back, you made that one. June, July, August, September, October. Yeah, you made that thing by, let's call it 4 months. Or you would have bought me dinner.
4 months, you said under 19.
Yeah, I did. I thought he was 18. I don't know. He was 19 when they were filming.
He's an old man.
19 at filming
that
time.
That is true.
Still younger than Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield. Did you like Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man?
Yes, very much.
You did.
Carvel Ice Cream, America's freshest ice cream, is the proud presenting partner of Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora's live broadcasting booth inside of New York Comic Con from October 6th to the 9th, right here in 2016. Come and see us, hear our broadcast, and try your luck with the Carvel Ice Cream Fresh Wheel of Giveaways. Got to like the page on Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora on Facebook, and then you have an opportunity to spin the wheel right here in the Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora live broadcasting booth, doing shows all throughout New York Comic Con 2016 about the heroes, the villains, the shows, the characters, everything that you love in the world that we're all proud to live in, all thanks to America's freshest ice cream. There's nothing like a Carvel memory. Share one today by going to your local Carvel. Carvel Ice Cream, America's freshest ice cream, and the proud partner of Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora.
Now, I, as Nick knows, and a lot of my listeners, followers know, I got to be in Amazing Spider-Man 2 as an extra. I just kind of had an opportunity. I was in Rochester.
You meet Tom Holland?
And they asked me if you want me to meet Tom Holland.
No, did you?
Did I meet him? No. I got to be in Amazing Spider-Man 2, and got to do a lot of really cool things. And the scene that I'm in is me walking down the street and turning my head to the right. I did a lot of other stuff besides that. But I found out from somebody that they would have had to pay me for stunt pay if they could use the scene. Because I ran and protected a girl and shielded her. And then I went under the bar of this parking garage thing. And then one of the other times I ran in front of the 18-wheeler and it was super close. Like an actual 18-wheeler. And they told me that I needed to scream as if it was going to hit me. And I was acting at the time. And then kind of... as I'm going through the motions, three quarters of the way through, I'm like, It could have hit me if I was not on cue. But I found out that I would have to get stunt pay for that. So it makes sense that they took the scene of me walking down the road and turning my head. However, I would have liked to get stunt pay. That would have been fun.
So you think if they used it, then they would have had to contact you and give you pay?
Yeah.
So they only have to pay you if they use it, not if you actually do it. That's weird.
Yeah, it is very strange. What if I broke an ankle doing an amazing stunt? What if I jumped in my TARDIS and the phone booth door shut on my thing, shut on my thumb, shut on my ankle?
You have to watch at least one or two episodes of Doctor Who.
I want to know what made you like it.
My friend said you need to watch this.
It seems like the growing thing in today's world is, hey, you should watch that. Uh-huh. Stranger Things, The Walking Dead. It seems to be Gotham. Seems to be very much you need to go watch the show.
I like that for a lot of reasons they talked about on stage today. I mean, one of the things is it's quirky and different and fun, and it's not, like, I know it seems cheesy to say, I'm not against violence or profanity or sex or anything like that, but it just, you know, it doesn't have a lot of that. It does that in a fun way, in a very smart way. Just the fact that the Doctor fights his enemies with his brain, I mean...
Bring me through that, though. How does he defeat someone with their brain? Does he outsmart them to, like, walk off a cliff or something?
Technology and stuff like that.
So he doesn't use any weapons?
No.
Does he kill these people?
Sometimes they die through different means, but not always.
So what is
most of the time people run from him? He's feared throughout the galaxy.
What is the most famous outsmarting bit of history that Doctor Who had that you liked?
Well,
you better bring me into a special moment, Nick.
I know.
Or was it in 1813?
No.
Okay.
Without going into too much detail about the episode, one of my favorite scenes is Matt Smith. Basically, he has almost every single race on top of him in spaceships. And what he has.
He has what on top of him?
Like every single race from the galaxy.
Is
at that planet wanting what he is guarding. And like I said, instead of fighting his way out, he basically goes up there and gives one hell of an emotional speech. Basically telling them to think twice about who they're dealing with, because... you know I've beaten you all before.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's that kind of thing where he's outsmarted them in the past multiple times, each one of these enemies. And so when they come back, they saw that fear of the Doctor. It's pretty cool.
So if I came up to you and I said, Nick, be careful, because I've outsmarted you so many times and you should fear me.
Yes.
You would... give me your granola bar that you're eating right now?
No, you'd have it. I would run.
Unacceptable. You would run?
I would run.
Okay, I like that. Tales from the TARDIS with Matt Smith, Alex Kingston, and Jenna Coleman is what we're talking about. We went to the panel here on Thursday at 2 p.m. It was exciting.
Now, just so you know who is up there, so Matt Smith was the Doctor.
Yeah.
Jenna Coleman is one of his companions. All the Doctors have a companion that goes on the journeys with them.
Would you be my companion?
No.
Why not?
And various reasons. And she was his, like, I think a second companion. They were talking about Kara in the first one. And then Alex...
who's the girl he wants to date in real life. It seemed. They seemed to have a chemistry.
No, that's the girl on the far right.
Wait.
Alex.
Yeah.
Oh, you think that's the girl?
No.
Yeah, the girl in the middle, Jenna.
No, Jenna. Yeah, Jenna's the one where
look at her.
Who does she remind you of that's on another show about, like, the comic world or the this fantasy world? Just look at her face and hair, and what actress? It's blatant to me.
Can't.
Okay, Daisy Johnson.
Really?
She does. She looks like. Yes, she does. She looks like Daisy,
right.
A.K.A. Quake, from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4, Ghost Rider. which we'll be talking about after our panel coming up Friday, right? Friday night.
Yeah.
Got a little panel going on. But so, Doctor Who, so you were saying about Alex. So Alex is on the end.
Well, yeah, she's River Song, and she is the Doctor's wife. She was Matt's wife on the show. Did you pick up on that?
I did.
Okay. But they traveled through history in opposite directions. They traveled through time in opposite directions. So
how come she gets to travel, too?
Well, she's special. She can also fly the TARDIS. So she started in the future and worked her way down. So she, every time she sees the Doctor, she's getting closer to, like, the last time, the first time, but to her it would be the last time. So the first time they meet in history is the last time she's meeting him, but the first time he's meeting her. So think about this. Every time they met,
yeah,
she knows their history and knows what all,
so
everything
it's,
they
it's kind of like Hawkman and Hawkgirl.
Well, no, they're not going the opposite ways.
Well, but he had to remind her of their history.
True.
That, from that point of view. That's
but
what I'm saying.
She's not, yeah, yeah.
But so they, no, they traveled through at the same time. Yeah, they,
the already
she
happened,
just forgot he didn't.
That was a cool thing. But anyway, that was a,
yeah. So, but the panel was funny.
Yes.
There was a lot of innuendo. Much. Much innuendo.
It was?
It was funny, though. I thought the panel was good. Yeah. I thought that Alex Kingston was, not that the other two weren't, but I thought she had so much wisdom.
Well, she does. She's
and
been
she's
around,
like,
yeah.
She's so much her character, from what I'm taking away from it, in real life, because she seems to understand things and...
She was able to explain things and talk about scenes.
Yeah,
and
like she,
that.
Her responses
really
were like 5 minutes. It was
yeah.
very, you know, it was a very dense response, but that Matt, made a lot of sense.
That's true, but then Matt was also able to be very insightful and give like fan tidbits that we might not know about, like insider stuff, which was cool.
Yeah.
Jenna didn't really contribute all that much.
She didn't say a lot.
But she doesn't need to.
Well, you know, we know that Nick is, if Nick could go back in time, he would make himself the Doctor so he could be around Jenna.
There you go.
That's a trueness. You're like Jenna Coleman.
Yep, she's my favorite companion.
So, when you look at the show, the role of the companion, how does this work out? When you got the Doctor doing his business.
Well, he needs help. So he goes and he kidnaps a girl. And takes her on journeys with him, and they usually fall in love with him. Not in a sexual way, but in just, you know.
So you're saying if I wanted to become Doctor Who, I would have to go kidnap someone and put them on a ship.
Yeah, and so then when she moves on to something else, you gotta go get another one. That's the way it works.
So
usually
So they've made a Lifetime movie about Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Doctor Who's Bunker. That's great.
Does your audience care about Rogue One?
Rogue One
figures?
Yeah, let's talk about
the Hasbro
it.
Panel?
I love how Nick is very, very serious about Doctor Who, and I'm trying to break him down a little bit, and he's just shaking his head over here. So, Rogue One, did you take pictures?
Yes.
Can I see them?
Well, I got to see them to talk to you.
You
want to
see? Okay, so you take
so
a look.
There's going to be there's going to be a few more of the 6-inch figures.
How many did you find out about? What's coming?
Well, we're gonna get a 6-inch of the Shore Trooper, the kind of off-white color uniform and everything.
Okay.
The new Trooper that we're seeing there on the beaches in the trailers.
Okay.
We're gonna get the main bad guy. I do forget his name, but he's the head of the Imperial Forces, has a cape and everything. He's the new bad guy in Rogue One. We are getting a new Vader, and because they haven't. Apparently they haven't done a, like, true-to-form original Vader yet. They've done variants where, like, his mask is getting hit by Force Lightning by the Emperor and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
So they're going to give us another Vader, because Vader's in Rogue One, too.
So we're gonna see, like, a
nice
true...
fully articulated Vader. It'll be really cool.
Okay.
And they talked in detail about how much they... worked with Lucasfilm on getting all the...
Making sure they got the right
stands
stuff.
...and props, and yeah, make sure every detail was right. And then there's going to be a couple more. So it's going to be, let's say, two more 6-inch Black Series for Rogue One. And it's going to be kind of the two other Rebel companions. And I'm really sorry. I should have done more prep and had all their names for you. But one's going to be kind of like, if you've seen the trailers and everything, you have that the guy with the long hair and the big gun, and then you have the Asian guy who kind of knows the martial arts with the weird eyes and the big stick. So you're going to have those two guys.
Impeccable description.
I think so.
Impeccable.
I think so.
What's a better companion? A Rogue companion or a Doctor Who companion?
Oh, Doctor Who companion. Are you serious? Yeah, and then they're going to continue with 3-inch lines. So they're going to come out with a set of Rebels and Imperial Forces, all the different
that have 5 points of articulation.
5 points of articulation.
At the chagrin of that poor individual.
Basically, it's two at the hips for your legs, shoulders, and neck. That's it.
Okay. Two at the hips, and then the shoulder.
One for each leg, one for each arm.
Yeah, well, that's normal.
Yeah.
It's like what we got as children.
Yeah, but we can move wrists and ankles. Come on.
Who wants to do that?
And elbows. What about elbows?
Who wants to do that?
Knees? Knees?
Well, you used to have knees. What happened to knees?
Not the 3-inch.
Not the 3-inch.
No.
No knees.
No, no knees.
So, did you ask any questions?
I did not.
You didn't?
No.
Were they all answered by that gentleman?
Pretty much.
Were there a lot of questions or no?
There was nine. He took up most of the time.
Did he really?
No, he took up a decent amount of time. Most of the questions were about stuff they couldn't really talk too much about yet.
Yeah.
Plus, I guess they have some stuff on the horizon for the 40th anniversary of Star Wars next year, so look out for that.
That'll be amazing. Now, let me ask you, Nick, since we're on the topic of Star Wars, how many Star Wars action figures does Doctor Who own? No, see, I'm not doing it. I was going to twist it. But how many do you own?
Oh, I
can tell you what I own.
Easily hundreds. I couldn't tell you how many.
I can tell you where I'm at. I safely own probably every BB-8 known to humankind.
Oh, nice. All right.
Yeah. Zero BB-8.
Carvel Ice Cream, America's freshest ice cream, is the proud presenting partner of Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora's live broadcasting booth inside of New York Comic Con from October 6th to the 9th, right here in 2016. Come and see us, hear our broadcast, and try your luck with the Carvel Ice Cream Fresh Wheel of Giveaways. Got to like the page on Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora on Facebook, and then you have an opportunity to spin the wheel right here in the Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora live broadcasting booth, doing shows all throughout New York Comic Con 2016 about the heroes, the villains, the shows, the characters, everything that you love in the world that we're all proud to live in, all thanks to America's freshest ice cream. There's nothing like a Carvel memory. Share one today by going to your local Carvel. Carvel Ice Cream, America's freshest ice cream, and the proud partner of Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora.
Now, let me ask you this, because we're talking about toys, right? This is, you know, an expensive toy, but the Force Band that allows me to declare, you know, myself, I guess, the owner of BB-8 to
Did
do
you
it.
Did you get that?
I didn't get it yet.
Oh, okay.
I think my BB-8 is very smart. I think each of them has their own. And mine has learned my house very well. I think the Chinese government is the camera inside.
I'm sure it does.
And I tell him not to go in my office, and he does. Like, we've had conversations. Did I tell you what he did when I put my arms, or I laid on the ground, and I put my arms around BB, and he banged into it, and he turned around, and he looked up at me, and I was like, did I get you? Did I scare you? And he went, Very smart.
Does he bump into less things now?
Does he what?
Bump into less stuff?
Yeah, he's starting to learn the house.
Does he go into the bathroom when your wife's taking a shower?
Not yet.
Okay.
Only when I am. Because he knows his master. That's right.
The Chinese government knows you.
Yeah, or the Chinese government has a lot of pictures. A lot of pictures. So, but no, I do. I I'm going back and forth on if I want the force band or not. You know, do I want to be able to put my hand out and move BB? Because they keep updating the app, right?
Right.
So we keep getting stuff. Like, if you bought the Sphero BB-8, you're going to get stuff in the app that's going to update his computer if you don't buy anything ever again.
Right.
I mean, you can watch Star Wars with him now. He can respond to things now. There's more voice commands or different things that I feel like, you know, they've added tweaks. So, you know, I think it's good the way it is. But now I'm, like, in this conundrum of, do I really want to be able to put my hand out and he, like, comes toward me and I can declare.
You probably do.
I think I do. Knowing me, I do. But the Doctor Who panel, listen, it was funny. It was entertaining. I learned a lot. I thought the cast, I mean, I'm telling you, though, I think Alex was, she was amazing.
She was, I know.
She was amazing because she was so thorough in the answers, and it was really exciting. Matt was very, very funny.
He was, and he always is.
You know, and
that was the first time I saw Jenna.
Yeah, Jenna was, she was more quiet. She was more reserved. I did get asked a question about, like, stage directors and stuff. I thought that was interesting because I've actually worked in theater in college with stage managers and all that, and you really get a feel for what it's about.
Yeah.
And what a bad one, how quickly that could come, and how, you know, a good one kind of handles things, because it does get hectic, it does get chaotic, no matter how small of an operation it is. So I thought that was a really interesting question. So, you know, shout out the person that asked
that
question.
That was a good one.
That was really cool. You know, but there were good questions because, like I said, some people just go up and they say, "Hey, I have a script that I'd really love for you to read. Can you take this?"
Yeah, I like the older lady who said that she grew up with Doctor Who and was older than everybody on that panel, and said to Matt Smith, "You know, I never thought you could replace David Tennant and Rose, you know, the previous Doctor and Companion. Then you came along, and now you're my favorite Doctor and Companion."
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Actually, Carrie, she said that Matt could never replace David Tennant, the previous Doctor, and that Jenna could never replace Karen Gillian, who was the previous Companion, who was in Guardians of the Galaxy. And
what character?
Let the world know. What's the blue character? Not
Yondu.
No.
The blue character?
She's the blue one with the bald head.
The one that looks like... Oh, man, that's
difficult. I cannot remember her name.
Because she looks like an actress, that it's not the same.
But anyway, that's
she
her.
Might, the one that plays is it Nebula?
Something maybe, like that. Yeah, that sounds about right. So she said that now Matt is her favorite Doctor and Jenna's her favorite Companion. So that's cool.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. I mean, I think the show has definitely... It has a niche group, you know. It has a very vast support group. There are a lot of people there today.
Yeah.
What's the hope for the future?
Oh, I'm sure.
What do you hope for? What have you not seen yet? Like, describe to me the planets. Is this like Star Trek on TV where you go to a planet and you're like, you can encounter anything?
You can, but I mean, you're going a lot into the future and the past. I mean, remember they brought the Van Gogh episode, so there's a episode where they actually visited Van Gogh, and there's episodes where they visit what the world will look like thousands of years from now. So it's cool. No, I just...
But when they're going to other planets.
Keep open for good stories and good
Can
doctors.
You go to Mars of the past? Like, when they go to planets, go into that for people that haven't seen the show.
Well,
what's that world like?
I don't...
When the telephone booth takes you somewhere
else. They don't go much to other planets.
It's TARDIS. Because they were talking about the ability to go anywhere.
Really happen that much.
And meet races and whatnot.
Well, it's mostly on Earth.
So it's
honestly,
us.
Yeah.
Have they gone back to meet the dinosaurs?
I don't think they've done the dinosaur.
Well, that needs to happen. That's what I want. That's the show I want. I want Doctor Who to go back to the Jurassic period and let me marvel in that world. That's what I want to see, Nick.
Well,
Doctor Who.
It'll happen.
So you're a big fan.
Yeah.
So, but what are your hopes? What would you like?
Just keep giving me great stories and great characters, great doctors. I, you know, that's all. I mean, I don't have any expectations because you never know where the show is going to go. You can't really predict that. So,
do we know a lot of the new cast that is coming? Do we know what's happening here moving forward?
Well, no, going forward, I'm not up on what's happening going forward. No, nothing that hasn't happened yet. I don't keep up on it like that.
But do you watch it religiously? I mean, is this like one of your shows, one of your main shows?
Yeah. Usually I'll binge watch the entire season once it's done. Usually I won't watch it in order as it comes out.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I mean, I'm all caught up now.
And, were you confused that everybody in the cast was British?
No.
Because The Walking Dead, everyone in the cast is British. So I thought maybe that everybody in Doctor Who would be American.
Ah, no, it doesn't work that way.
Just maybe.
No.
Yeah. Have you ever watched an interview with 99% of the cast of The Walking Dead or Fear the Walking Dead? They're British, Australian, and then the people that you think are from other countries are like the only Americans.
They like to do that.
They do. Hearing Rick Grimes go from, you know.
He's British?
Oh, he is British.
Wow.
You've never seen an interview with Andrew Lincoln?
I don't think so.
Oh, my goodness. He is very, very British. He sounds very nice. He sounds like a sweet, sweet man that wouldn't hurt a fly. And then he's rare. You know? He's out there. Carl. You know, but it's crazy. Well, Daryl, you know, he doesn't have an accent. But you know, Danai Gurira, she doesn't. But there's a lot that do. There's a lot to do. Laura Cohen, you know her?
Yes. Yeah.
She has one.
Yeah, I knew she did.
Yeah.
How about Glenn?
He's Mexican.
Okay.
But no, I mean, I thought Doctor Who was intriguing, because that's my thing. It's one of the areas I haven't gotten to. You know, it's like The Flash, all day, every day. And The Flash, Gotham, all these shows.
I don't know if you'd like Doctor Who.
Walking Dead. I would give it a shot. It sounds like it's taking pieces of shows I used to watch as a child. So I definitely give it its ample shot and see where it goes from there. But I'm interested. You should be happy I went to the panel.
I'll point you in the direction of a couple episodes.
Point me in the direction of my TARDIS. So we'll take a step aside here on Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora. Yep. Show me the TARDIS. I will find the TARDIS. Right here on Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora, with Nicola Cicero and myself, Dan Tortora. Really enjoyed the panel. Want to give a shout out once again to the panel. Specific name, Tales from the TARDIS with Matt Smith, Alex Kingston, and Jenna Coleman. It was a lot of fun to go to. We have a lot more coming up today and the next 3 days. So make sure you stay right here. Like the page on Facebook so you know when the live show will be going on. Facebook.com/LargerThanLifeDT. And the Carvel Fresh Wheel of Giveaways. If you come up, you like the page, you get to spin the wheel. We've been giving away a lot of great prizes. Larger Than Life t-shirts,
so
special boxes, no variant comics yet. We have not done that yet, but it could be to come next. So make sure you come over and spin the wheel. I want to thank Carvel Ice Cream, Carvel America's Freshest Ice Cream, for being our proud presenting partner of the Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora live broadcast booth right here inside of New York Comic Con, October 6th to the 9th of this great year of 2016 in New York City in the Javits Center. And we are booth 1878, so come check us out. I'll talk to you soon.